From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo discusses Indonesia-Australia SEPA ratification. Indonesia and Sri Lanka have many opportunities in the trade and investment sectors. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pali. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will conduct a state visit to Australia on 8 to 10 February 2020. The main agenda is economic cooperation, especially related to the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Strategic Partnership, or EACPA, which has entered the final stage of the ratification process. It was said by acting spokesperson of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Teuku Faijasa, in Jakarta on Thursday. A comprehensive economic partnership agreement that was signed on March 4, 2019 is believed to be beneficial for Indonesia to improve the competitiveness of human resources, industry and the service sector. In addition, the agreement is also expected to increase market access for goods and services from Indonesia to Australia. President Jokowi's visit to Canberra is part of the annual leaders' meeting, as well as to commemorate 70 years of Indonesia-Australia diplomatic relations. The Institute for Development of Economics and Finance suggests that the government needs to optimize the industrial sector in order to be a support in achieving Indonesia's economic growth target of 5.3% by 2020. They were said by the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance in-depth researcher Andrea Satrio Nugroho in Jakarta on Thursday. Andrea said, in addition to the industrial sector that needs to grow at least 5.5%, an increase in trade and agriculture is also needed to further support the Indonesian economy better this year. He asserted that if the industrial sector along with various other sectors could not experience higher growth, then the Indonesian economy for 2020 would only reach 4.8%. The Indonesian government plans to build a special hospital to deal with outbreaks of infectious disease on an empty island. As stated by the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Mahfud MD, at the Jakarta Presidential Office on Thursday. According to Mahfud, the construction of the hospital was inseparable from the coronavirus outbreak that originated in the Wuhan region, China. So President Joko Widodo wants a special infectious disease hospital to be built in Indonesia. We will look for an empty place. We still have many thousands of islands that are still empty. The plan is to build one hospital, not just a corona. The president has asked that a long-term special hospital be prepared to handle infectious viruses. If at any time there is the rehabilitation center, the handling center, the island is still being searched. Previously, President Joko Widodo asked all relevant agencies to prepare scenarios to deal with the spread of dangerous viruses in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo asked his staff to prepare a long-term scenario if a coronavirus or other endemic virus enters Indonesia. According to him, the scenario was carried out starting from the site preparation to the tasks of each ministry and agency. Indonesia and Sri Lanka have many opportunities for cooperation in the field of trade and investment. This was said by the Sri Lankan ambassador to Indonesia, Yesuja Gunasekara, during a special interview at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Friday. Ambassador of Sri Lanka to Indonesia, Yesuja Gunasekara, remarked on the numerous similarities that Sri Lanka and Indonesia share, calling their relationship similar to that of brothers and sisters. Speaking about the recent export of train cars and textile from Indonesia to Sri Lanka, she said Sri Lanka was very happy about the involvement of Indonesia in its transportation sector. She also called on for a similar interest from Indonesia about a lot of unique opportunities that Sri Lanka can offer.
We would like Indonesians to get more interested in purchasing some of our premium export products. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of well-known, world-renowned products, such as the Ceylon tea, the gems and jewelry products, including the famous blue sapphire. Mm-hmm. We have the Colombo Port City that is now coming up. There are huge potential in real estate there. There's going to be opportunities in the logistics area. You have opportunities in manufacturing. Mm-hmm. We have export processing zones around the country. And Sri Lanka has very skilled labor. We'd like a lot more business-to-business cooperation between the two countries. Both the governments have made it clear, both the leaders have made it clear, that the businessmen of the two of our communities could work together so much more closely to explore the possibilities. So there's so much that we can do.
She said there is a budding interest in Sri Lanka to invest more in Indonesia considering the fast rate of economic growth Indonesia has. She also remarked that although Sri Lanka had a free trade agreement with India, preferential trade agreement with Pakistan, and a free trade agreement with Singapore, it still doesn't have one with Indonesia. However, Ambassador Yesuja hoped that the leaders of the countries have this conversation and Sri Lanka is very interested in engaging with Indonesia on this. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Economic and Trade Office, IETO Taipei, has asked Indonesian citizens in Taiwan not to panic in responding to the outbreak of the coronavirus that has its epicenter in Wuhan, China. They were said by the head of the IETO Taipei, Didi Sumari, when distributing masks to the Indonesian citizens in Taipei on Thursday. He also appealed to the Indonesian citizens to pay attention to food so they are not easily attacked by the deadly disease. Didi Sumari added, taking into account the conditions on the ground when people had difficulty getting masks, Indonesian Economic and Trade Office Taipei had recently started distributing masks to a number of locations, particularly centers of Indonesian migrant workers. There are currently around 300,000 Indonesian citizens in Taiwan, the majority of whom work in the formal and informal sectors. The IETO Taipei also has not received reports of Indonesian citizens infected with the 2019 NCO virus. United States President Donald Trump said on Thursday the United States had killed Qasem al-Raimi, leader of the Al-Qaeda Islamic group in the Arabian Peninsula, AQAP, in a counterterrorism operation in Yemen. But Trump did not say when Raimi was killed. The United States regards AQAP as one of the deadliest branches of the Al-Qaeda network founded by Osama bin Laden. Reports in Yemen have suggested in recent days that Raimi had been killed in a drone strike in Marib, but Reuters news agency could not verify the report. A Yemeni government official told Reuters that there was a drone strike on Marib, but it wasn't Raimi who was killed. Britain plans to work on a new tariff list, which will be applied starting in 2021 for goods from countries around the world that currently do not have trade agreements, the government said on Thursday. The government has been holding discussion for 4 weeks to determine the country's most desired tariff rules, which will later be called the UK Global Tariff. Trade Minister Liz Truss said in a statement, that the rules would include simplification and elimination of goods not produced in UK. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Donald Trump Acquitted from Impeachment. Well, listener, the trial of the impeachment of the President of the United States, Donald Trump, at the Senate level had made the final round. The Senate chose to acquit Donald Trump on charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. 48 senators declared Donald Trump guilty of abuse of power, while 52 other senators chose to acquit him. This conclusion came after holding the trial for almost a week, until the Senate rejected Democrat requests to present new witnesses at the trial. Before Donald Trump, American history recorded there were two American presidents, Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton, who had been impeached. The third U.S. president involved in the impeachment investigation, Richard Nixon, resigned before his impeachment, which was almost certain to occur, for trying to hide his role in the theft of Democratic campaign material. An interesting aspect to look at is the level of popularity of Donald Trump and his cabinet amid the impeachment process. The ranking of public acceptance of President Donald Trump was reported to have reached the highest level amidst the impeachment process against him. Based on a survey conducted by Queen University, Donald Trump received 43% ranking of public acceptance, the highest during his tenure at the White House. The university reported that the accusation of high public revenue was due to the strengthening of the U.S. economy in recent times. According to the 73% of respondents, the U.S. economy is currently in good condition. Although personally Donald Trump always causes controversy, not only in America but also abroad, it turns out that the impeachment outcome did not depend on personality performance. Take, for example, American history recorded that U.S. Congress submitted articles about impeachment against U.S. President Lyndon Johnson, a successor to Abraham Lincoln, after Johnson removed U.S. War Minister Edwin Stanton. Johnson was said to have been a pro-Union figure, but did not fully support the post-Civil War Reconstruction era. Johnson often opposed the U.S. Congress when lawmakers turned aid to displaced black Americans. Johnson was impeached on February 24, 1868, but was acquitted at the U.S. Senate hearing. He could remain in office with one Senate vote. Just because a president is not liked, this does not mean impeachment will positively occur. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to our regular segment of Today in History. Firstly, we revisit February 7, 1965, when the United States bombed North Vietnam. After evacuating the last U.S. families in Vietnam, the U.S. Air Force began to launch air attacks on North Vietnam on February 7, 1965. The goal of the U.S. and the government of South Vietnam was to destroy supply networks of weapons and fuel for the communists of North Vietnam. The bombing marked the beginning of the Second Indochina War. By March 1965, thousands of the U.S. Marines in South Vietnam were at war against North Vietnam. The next event is that in 1986, Haiti's rebellion enforced the authority of President Jean-Claude Duvalier.
Jean-Claude de Valier was president of Haiti from 1971 until he was overthrown by a rebellion in 1986. He replaced his father, François Papadoc de Valier, as dictator of Haiti after his father's death in 1971. The rebellion of the Haitian people was the answer, and protests lasted for 3 months on the political and economic operation by an authoritarian government conducted by Jean-Claude de Valier. Because of his people's rebellion, Haiti's dictator ran away along with his family and lived in France. De Valier fled the country with $1 billion, which he embezzled from Haiti. And the last event is that in 1992, the Maastricht Agreement was signed. The Maastricht Agreement or European Union Agreement was signed on February 7, 1992 by 12 member countries of European people in Maastricht, the Netherlands. The draft of the Maastricht Agreement was negotiated in an earlier meeting of the European Council on December 9-10, 1991 in Maastricht. The Maastricht Agreement introduced the euro currency and created the three pillars of the European Union, namely European people, mutual foreign policy and security, and justice and homeland affairs. There was today in history.
Diriku mencari dan ternyata ku sendiri mengharap kehadiranmu menemani diri ini saat kau tak di sisiku dan ku pun terus mencari mengharap kehadiranmu menemani bayangmu terus menyapaku di mimpi. Mengapa begitu sulit melupakan kamu? Maaf bila ku tak pernah bisa membuktikan bahwa diriku yang memang terbaik untuk. Saat diriku mencari
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Customs of Indonesia and Singapore Hold Cooperation to Enhance Marine Supervision. The Indonesian Customs Office and the Singapore Police Coast Guard agreed on a memorandum of understanding in the effort to increasing maritime surveillance in the sea border area. The memorandum of understanding was signed by the Director General of Customs and Excise of the Indonesian Ministry of Finance, Heru Pambudi, and Commander of Singapore Police Coast Guard, Cheng Keng Kiong, at the Customs Headquarters, Jakarta recently. Heru Pambudi, in an official statement released by Business Indonesia on Tuesday, February 4, said that the Memorandum of Understanding was intended as a basis for cooperation in the exchange of information to prevent and eradicate smuggling and other organized crime, as well as a basis for the two parties to work together on coordinated sea patrols. As a crossing location of intercontinental and interoceanic ships, the Indonesia-Singapore sea border becomes a strategic route that is crowded with international maritime activities, so the route requires tight supervision. The bilateral cooperation is also aimed at preventing the smuggling of goods, narcotics, psychotropics, and precursors, or other illegal goods. It is worried that illegal practices can be used to fund larger criminal activities, such as transnational organized crime and terrorism. The two parties will also work together to improve the ability of human resources and institutions through various education and trainings and capacity building for the realization of strong and effective supervision. This cooperation is intended to secure sea crossings from security threats that connect the two countries, along with protecting the wider community. Furthermore, this cooperation is also intended to protect local industries from smuggled goods, which can reduce the competitiveness of the domestic market. That was My Indonesia for today.
Mungkinkah
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I introduce you to Situ Gunung Suspension Bridge in Sukabumi, West Java. Listener, for those who like adrenaline-driven tours, you have to visit the Situ Gunung Suspension Bridge tourist attraction in Sukabumi, West Java. At an altitude of almost 150 meters above sea level, you have to go along the 243-meter long and 2-meter wide bridge with 1.5-meter high fence, where occasionally you feel the shake of the bridge. The Situ Gunung Bridge tourism site can be accessed approximately 1.5 to 2 hours by land transportation from Jakarta. The project is open every day at 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. with a ticket price of 50,000 rupiah for adults and 25,000 rupiah for children under 9 years old. People over 65 years old, toddlers and disabled people enter free of charge. The ticket is a jungle waterfall tourism package facility, including an entry ticket to Lake Situ Gunung, Curug Sawer, and for welcome drink at the cafeteria, which has a balcony to look into the bridge. The ticket also includes harness rent for safety, which must be used while visitors cross the bridge. Listener, Situ Gunung Suspension Bridge was inaugurated on March 9, 2019 by Coordinating Minister of Maritime, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan. The bridge, which is made of the merbau timber, has a maximum capacity of 40 people. The Situ Gunung is the longest suspension bridge in Indonesia, even in Southeast Asia. When walking down this bridge, you can enjoy the beauty of the green expanse of trees and feel the coolness of the surrounding air. Do not forget to capture the natural beauty of Situ Gunung with your camera, and do not worry about security, because experienced and talented guides stand by at points along the trip, and you will also be equipped with harnesses. After crossing the Situ Gunung Bridge, you can continue the trip to the exotic Curug Sawer. The trip to Curug Sawer can be accessed by a light trek along 1.2 kilometers. Arriving at Curug Sawer, visitors can enjoy the swift and beautiful waterfalls. Curug Sawer is 35 meters high. Situ Gunung Suspension Bridge tourism site offers various facilities such as the balcony Gede Pangrango cafeteria, toilet facilities, and a large parking area. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. We will meet again in the next edition of Indonesian Wonder with other interesting topics. Goodbye.
Memaksaku rin Rindu semakin menyerang. Kalaulah ku dapat membaca pikiranmu dengan sayap pengharapanku ingin terbang jauh. Biar awan pun gelisah, daun-daun jatuh berguguran, namun cintamu kasih terbit laksana bintang yang bersinar cerah menerangi jiwa. Andaikan ku dapat mengungkapkan perasaanku hingga membuat kau percaya, akan ku berikan seutuhnya rasa cintaku selamanya, selamanya.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back in Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you about Erlangga University with Kobe University found a coronavirus detection tool. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Erlangga University, Surabaya, and Kobe University, Japan, invent a detection tool of a coronavirus novel region 2019 nCoV. Rector of Erlangga University, Professor Muhammad Nasih, said that detection tool is able to identify patients suspected of contracting the virus from Wuhan City, China. The problem of the availability of the detection devices in Indonesia has become a public concern. Besides Erlangga University, Professor Muhammad Nasih further said that the region is also owned by the Center for Research and Development of Biomedical and Basic Technology in Health Balitbangkes. The public can use the tool to confirm the presence or absence of the virus. The identification is not long. It only takes few hours, but the mechanism is in accordance with the standards of the World Health Organization. With specific identification, Professor Nasih hopes that in the future it can produce research on the handling and prevention of this virus. The accuracy of this tool reached 99%. Professor Nasih acknowledged that Erlangga University's ability to infant these regions could not be separated from Kobe University's access and relations in Germany in accessing coronavirus data and gene from virus banks. So, if there is an examination of plagiarism, indeed the results are the same as positive parameters, special handling will be done. That was miscellany for today about Erlangga University and Kobe University invent a coronavirus detection tool. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Thanks for listening.
Melayang, hayalanmu melayang. tenggelam, karisma menghilang. Tak tahu apa yang terjadi, semua tak pasti. Melayang, pikiranmu melayang, melayang.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a collaborative regional song from West Java and Bali, entitled Walet. Gamelan is a traditional instrument which is played by Central, East and West Javanese and by Balinese people. The instrument has similar composition, but every region has its own ways to play it. Bali and Java have similar ways to play it, namely with harmonious fast rhythm. The fast rhythm is usually to accompany Sundanese traditional dance, namely jaipong. Meanwhile, in Bali, the rhythm of the gamelan is played to accompany welcoming dance, such as pandet. West Javanese and Balinese musicians collaborate their music into a song entitled Walet, which will be sung by Rita Tila. Here is Rita Tila with the song Walet.
Thank you. Jambu alas, jambu ne kuning yo mas, wis lawas kita mau mani.
Kota udang Cirebonan, aku melangurung katon, cari nak.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia.
Now we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.